This morning I've chosen to talk about the ministry of reconciliation. If you have your Bibles handy and you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to spend some time looking at just a few verses there. This morning, though, I wanted to talk about being ambassadors for Christ and what it means for us to be reconciled to Him. In this passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'll start there in verse 17. We'll end up focusing mainly on verses 18 through 21, but I'll start there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are all ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Those verses 18 through 21 is what we're going to spend time talking about this morning. Paul expounds on this subject a little bit. He discusses how there is a reconciliation between God and man, and he describes the role that he played in what he calls the ministry of reconciliation. There's a few questions I thought we should tackle this morning. I have three that I thought we would hit on. The first question is, exactly what is this reconciliation between man and God? What is it? How does it work? What roles can we play in the ministry of reconciliation? We all have a role to play in that, and so what is it? And then what does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ? Those would be the things that I think we'll hit on this morning. Hopefully, we'll come away feeling like we know what our roles are as a person who's being reconciled and our role as an ambassador. We first need to fully understand what this reconciliation is and what's this concept as it relates to God and man. Vine's definition of reconciliation is, put very simply, it means to change or exchange. Now, there's many other things it can mean, but to change or to exchange. A couple examples that came to my mind when I was thinking about reconciliation is something that some of us probably do every single month. Some of us probably still write checks. If it wasn't for church, maybe we wouldn't even need a checkbook anymore, possibly. But at the end of every month, you get a bank statement. Your bank statement tells you how much money you have in the bank. It tells you deposits made, it tells you expenses, it tells you what you've spent. On a monthly basis, most of us probably still reconcile your checkbook. If you're like me, every once in a while, you have to go in and change, reconcile, or exchange a number that you had written down that you noticed you wrote down wrong. Maybe you had something incorrect. You didn't maybe write down all of the numbers in your register. That's probably my bigger problem, is I just didn't record something. So, we reconcile that statement, our statement versus what the bank says. Probably 99 times out of 100, 99% of the time, the bank statement's correct. And we have to change what we have to match theirs. Now, I'm not going to say that always happens, but most of the time it's our mistake, not theirs. And so we reconcile, or we change that number to show what they have, to get our statement to match the bank statement. Another example is when people reconcile, or people change from being enemies with someone to being friends. We've all known of people that were good friends and they became enemies. And then at some point in time, there was a reconciliation. Someone decided to reconcile that relationship, to change maybe their feelings for that person, or change what had happened, or right that wrong. That's a reconciliation. You know, a good example in the Bible, and there's plenty, but a good example in the Bible of a reconciliation was when Joseph was by his brothers was basically left for dead. They were going to kill him, and ultimately instead they sold him into slavery. And you could say that they, I think putting it lightly, they became enemies. And through that process, at the very, very end of that story, and if you want to turn with me, I want to read it because I think the very end of that story is pretty fitting here. There in Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 5, it says, "Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, 'Make everyone go out from me.' So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'I am Joseph. Does my father still live?' But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, 'Please come near to me.' And they came near, and he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life.'" Notice what he says there at the end. Who should be angry at this point? Would it be his brothers would be angry? No, he would have all the reason in the world to be angry of what he potentially could have gone through or death or sold into slavery. But he says, no, don't be grieved. Don't be angry at yourselves because you sold me into this. Here's the reason. For God sent me to preserve life. God sent me to save lives. So he tells them, don't be angry with yourselves. He reconciled himself to them. Very similar to what we're going to talk about today. So let's go back to our story here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 19 says, "That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself." Primarily, this reconciliation is what God accomplishes. The enmity between God and us is because of our sin. Not because of something he did, but because of our sin. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." Is it something he did? No. It's something we have done. It's our sins that have separated us from him. But who is doing the reconciling? He is. So whose issue is this? Well, it's our issue. It's our sin that's caused us to be enemies of him. Yet the gospel proclaims how God has taken the initiative to reconcile us back to himself. Just like in the story of Joseph. Very similar. We should notice that there is a fine distinction here. God is not reconciled to mankind, but as though God were partially to blame for this enmity, but rather mankind is reconciled to God. For it is us who moved away from God. So think about that. We moved away from God. He didn't move away from us. Now, yes, it's true. He can't be around us because we're sinful. But it is us who moved away. It's us who became enemies of him. Reconciliation between man and God is slightly different than when people need to be reconciled. And I say that, it can be. When people need to be reconciled to one another, normally it involves a situation where maybe there's a little fault on both parties. Potentially that's the case. Well, guess what? In the case with us and God, that's not the case. We are fully to blame. It's not so with us and God. It's mankind who needs to be reconciled back to God, not God back to man. So I think it's important for us to understand that. How is reconciliation made possible? Well, these set of verses tell us it is possible only because of the initiative that God takes first. God took the first step. He took the first initiative. It's possible through Jesus Christ, in particular by His death. A couple of verses spell that out. One we just read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, and another one is in Colossians 1 and 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood on the cross. Notice that this reconciliation comes through Jesus, and it comes specifically through His death on the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 tells us, For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So in other words, God took Christ, who we know had no sin, to represent sin and to receive the punishment due to sin, which was His death on the cross. You notice when we became enemies, we alienated ourselves to God by our sins. And it's us who needs to be reconciled back to God. And through Christ's death, which here in verse 21, He tells us we might become righteousness of God in Him, and we might be holy, blameless, and irreproachable in His sight. Because our trespasses are like it is said in verse 19. They're not imputed to us. Reconciliation is only made possible after God has offered Jesus as a propitiation for our sins. That's the only way. The word propitiation describes a sacrifice that is designed to appease for sins. And again, who is it that offers this propitiation? It's God. God offers it, not man. We didn't offer it, He did. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the whole world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and He sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. A verse that we understand. This illustrates to us, these two verses illustrate to us the great love that God had for us and how far He has gone in trying to reconcile us back to Him. Think of the extent that He has gone to reconcile us back to Him. We understand the meaning and process of reconciliation along with this propitiation, that we begin to appreciate this wonderful extent of God's grace and His love in His mankind, for mankind. God went way beyond just sending His Son to die on the cross. And I think this is important for us. That would have been enough, but He went beyond sending His Son to die on the cross for the propitiation, designed to reconcile us back to God. But He also developed something else. And I think it's interesting. It's called the ministry of reconciliation. He calls it that here, the ministry of reconciliation, that in verse 18. But what did He do to make this possible? Well, this is the part that I think is great. He sent ambassadors. You know, last Friday I was watching the news and getting ready for work. I was watching the news on Friday and they were interviewing Nikki Haley. I didn't know Nikki Haley, but Nikki Haley is our United States ambassador to the United Nations. And no doubt she's a sharp lady. They were interviewing her, and of course they were trying to trip her up on certain things. And you notice most of the interviews today are trying to tie them back to something Donald Trump said, our president said, or something they were defending. And so they were asking Nikki, you know, about her role and what she does as the ambassador to the United Nations. And they had questioned her at one point in time and said, well, what do you feel is the most important thing you do as the ambassador? And she said that her main responsibility was to represent the position of where the United States and our president stood. That she was to represent the position. So represent the stance of where does the United States stand in certain issues? Where do we stand? Where does the president stand with maybe other countries, or where our position? And so she went on to say that she thought that the communication was the key element to her job. And I thought it was interesting as I was listening to her, and I had been doing some studying about being ambassadors for Christ, and I was listening to her talk about being the ambassador to the United Nations and her talking about communication being the key and representing something. Well, that's no different than us as ambassadors. She said that her responsibility was to ensure that she accurately communicated and represented the president's stance in certain areas. Well, that's probably pretty difficult. That's probably a pretty difficult role, especially right now. How do you accurately represent where the president stands or where our country stands? But you know, as ambassadors of Christ, our role is probably very similar in the fact that we are to represent Christ and to accurately communicate with others what Christ's stance is. Notice Paul says here in verse 18, God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, who did he give it to? The apostles, but who also is he giving it to? Us. We are given this ministry of reconciliation. God, in verse 19, God has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So who is it that's supposed to be doing this reconciling? Who's aiding in this reconciliation? There is a ministry or a service that we are to do in which the word of reconciliation is to be made known to others. When I listened to Nikki tell about how important it was for her to accurately communicate with others and to accurately represent our president or our country, she made me think about how important it is for us to accurately represent God. We know that what we say and do is important, but have you thought about how important it is for us to accurately represent Christ? What a daunting job, a task that is really important for us to accurately represent who God is and what Christ really wants done. As ambassadors of Christ, think about how much more important our role is. And I think her role as the United Nations ambassador, I think it's probably pretty important. How much more important is our role as ambassadors of Christ? It is important that we accurately represent Him and communicate with others, this reconciliation. The apostles in particular had this ministry. The word apostle means one sent. So yes, I get it. In a special way, they were sent to serve others. They were sent out as ambassadors, but aren't we? At that time, they were ambassadors to the world, and today, we're the ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Therefore, through the apostles, through their word, God was and is pleading with us." Christ is imploring us to be reconciled to God. Think about that. Those are some pretty serious and weighty words used, pleading and imploring. Have you thought about that? God is pleading and imploring us to be reconciled. God's great love is manifest in the fact that He also sent ambassadors. He didn't just love us. He didn't just tell us He loved us. He didn't just show us He loved us through His Son who died on the cross. But what's He do? He sends ambassadors to make sure that everyone is reconciled back to Him. He could have just left it at that. He could have just left His Son who died, and that's it. You either choose to come back or you don't. But instead, He sent special people to be His ambassadors so that we could all be reconciled back to Him. This ministry of reconciliation, it continues today. It wasn't just then, but it's now. Do you think that there are people who aren't lost in sin today? No. It's the same as then. Just like at that time that we're reading right here, people are still lost. God still loves those who are lost, no different than He loved those who were lost at that point in time. We are God's ambassadors, and we are expected to take to the world a reconciliation. We, along with Christ and God, will plead and implore people to be reconciled to God. If you get nothing out of this lesson today, it's a challenge to check ourselves to find out, are you pleading and imploring with others? You have neighbors. I have neighbors. You have co-workers. Have you pleaded with them and implored them? I've shared with them. I've talked with them. But are you pleading and imploring? I don't know that I am. And as His ambassador, it's pretty important that we do. While we may not be formal ambassadors today, like the apostles were, we still are His ambassadors. As His ambassadors, we are the people of God who proclaim His praises. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." And I'm going to stop there. That's an awesome thing to be said about us. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and we are special. Doesn't it feel awesome to be called those things? And why is it that we're called those things? "That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now a people of God." We're not just people. We're people of God who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. What an awesome thing. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says, "In the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." We are faithful individuals who can teach and tell others about Christ. All of us should be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. Have you considered yourself to be involved in this ministry of reconciliation? Whether you have or not, you are, and you should be. You know, some may go while others send. In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15, it says, "How then shall we call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Are you one of those people? Are you His ambassador who is bringing about the gospel to others and who are preaching peace and who are bringing glad tidings to others? Some may teach while others invite. John chapter 1, verse 45 through 46, it says, "Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found Him of whom Moses is in the law, and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' And Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' And Philip said to him, 'Come and see.'" Are you a teacher? Maybe not. Are you one who can invite? Certainly. Are you Philip? You're going to doubt? Come and see. Let me show you. He was an inviter. He was an encourager. There are countless ways we can serve. Countless ways we can be ambassadors. Because God has given us all various gifts. Maybe yours isn't to teach. Maybe yours isn't to be a song leader. Maybe you don't feel comfortable inviting. There's many, many ways. Some are going to water. Some are going to plant. But as ambassadors, there is work that we all can do. In whatever way we can serve, we must remember that we play an important role as ambassadors in God's ministry of reconciliation. We're charged with helping reconcile people back to God. And I don't know that I've taken that as seriously as I should. Anything that would cause God to plead and implore is something I better take soberly. My closing thought for you today is this. If God is pleading and Christ is imploring for us to be reconciled, then it tells us it's extremely important. You know, we have to realize that reconciliation is not an option. And for those of us who are here today, we probably realize that. We know that being reconciled back to Him is not an option. We have to respond. Most of us here today have responded. That's great. That's more than half the battle, right? But we also must realize that reconciliation is not universal. Some are going to be lost. And if we are not reconcilers, if we do not take this role of being an ambassador serious, there are going to be far too many that will be lost. If you haven't obeyed the gospel this morning, or you found that maybe up to this point you haven't been a good ambassador for Christ, won't you be one or be a better one tomorrow? I invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.